Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your black pants party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. Joining me on this Tuesday morning, Josh Webb. You know, Josh, I told you in the beginning, it's Tuesday. You know what day it is as far as the date goes?
Is it 26th or something like that? But
it is the 26th. And there is a lot of greatness in the 26th.
I feel like I'm supposed to know what you're going to ask me.
Man, it is the man, the myth, the legend's birthday today. The Maloof.
Oh, it is. Yep. You know, we ought to just patch him into this call and not tell him we're calling.
Maloof, think anything of it. If you're listening to this, bud, happy birthday. He's probably not. He's probably laying aside or putting in.
I was going to say, it's the first day of sunshine in a while. I'm sure they're probably wide open. But yeah, Maloof.
But he's got to get a lot of work done. He's got a 2-week, 3-week vacation coming up.
2 or 3 week vacation. Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. And the water is definitely where it needs to be. I rode across Grenada Dam the other day. I don't think there's going to be any shortage of water in Grenada Lake or any of the lakes this year. You know, usually everybody has to wait till the water gets right where they want it. Water gets right where you want it. Well, right now, the water, I mean, I know they'll be pulling water off of these lakes and it'll be falling, but I don't think you're going to have to wait on the spring rain to put the water where you want it to go catch crappie.
Speaking of water, man, has it started going down up there?
Finally. Yeah. Well, it has in my house. And here's the thing. Yes, it has in my house, but 30 miles north of me, it's actually still rising on the Tennessee River. It's supposed to crest today at lunch, which today's Tuesday. I don't know when everybody's going to hear this, but around lunchtime today, that Tennessee River is finally supposed to crest, and it is going to break the 100-year flood record. It is bad, bad news along the Tennessee River, which where I'm talking about is like Savannah, Tennessee, up through there. But all up and down that Tennessee River is bad. Florence, Alabama, and Savannah, Tennessee, Crump, all up through there is record flooding.
Yeah.
It's not good. But the water in my house, yes, it is finally going down. When I left the house this morning, I could see parts of my backyard and my trampoline again. So, from what I've seen and heard, it's going down in the Mississippi Delta. Yeah, it's going down. It's going down, finally.
Yeah, well, all the water that you were talking about on Friday, as you were going to the Delta, I didn't go till Sunday. All that water disappeared.
It's gone, yeah. When we were coming back Sunday from the Delta, it was completely different than it was Friday. Completely different.
I want to
tell you something I saw online this morning. And pretty cool story. I don't know, it's not a really cool story. I don't even know if you saw it. It comes from my sister-in-law's Facebook page.
No, I doubt I saw that. Well, I mean, I might have. Depending on my sister-in-law.
I think this is a great conversation piece. Mm. Hey, coming up in just a minute is Justin Martin. We finalized the story of Becoming Martin. It's coming up here in just a minute. All right, so Josh, in her post, she said she was sitting to get her oil change because she was sick of looking at the change oil light, minding her own business. I know she's not going to listen to this, so.
Whatever. She's jumped down our throats before. But anyway, yes, I did see this post. Yes, I did.
Roy M. may listen to it and tell her or something like that. But anyway, she said a man next to her leans over and says, "Is it ever going to stop raining?" She said, "Maybe one day." Then the man says, "Gives y'all a good excuse to stay in and get all your housework done." So, all right, so I read that. And two thoughts come to my mind. Either this guy is the biggest idiot in the whole world, or my sister-in-law is embellishing this story big time. And for those of you, embellishing means, you know.
See, so. I think the dude's just terrible at hitting on women.
Well, my sister, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, you're in a group, but sitting around the fire pit to embellish your story just a little bit. But to put it in writing, man, you're going the distance, okay? Let's get that out of the way. All right, so.
Yeah, but no, I'm not going to agree with you on that because, well, yeah, I'm not going to agree with you publicly on that because I'll be the one to end up running into her at lunch one day and I'll be the one to get punched for saying she embellished a story. But,
she's a sweet girl. She'll laugh it off.
But
one thing I will say about my sister-in-law, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, the dude's an idiot. But that part, it don't matter what the situation was, that dude's an idiot for saying that. Now, unless this dude is just really, 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 this might sound bad, really, really old and like, that's all he's ever known is women should be in the kitchen. I'm not going to take up for him, but I can kind of see where he'd be coming from. But there's no way you would ever catch me saying that to a woman. There's no way. I don't care if I'm saying it to a woman that I know stays home and does stuff every day. I'm not about to do that.
There are four. All right, let's look at the science behind this. There's four levels of relationships in this world with other humans. One, the people you see on the sidewalk that are strangers, you just say, "Hey." Two, the people that you make small talk with, your acquaintances with them. Well, hold on. We're going 4, 3, 2, 1. Three are the people you make small talk with. Two, you know, your buddy's buddy, your best friend's buddy. You know, you got stuff to talk about and joke about. Same life situations. Then you've got your family, brothers and sisters, best friends is level one. Now, I propose the only way you can say this to somebody is minimum. You've got to be at least, hold on, let me take that back. The only way you can say this is from a level two relationship up to a level one.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
And the only way you can pull it off with the level two, you may be able to pull it off with your buddy's like wife. And you're like, "Hey, bud, watch this, what I tell her."
Yep.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking. You have got to have some kind of background, like some kind of something before that with that person to say something like that. Like, you can't just out of the blue say that and expect anything good to come from it. But now, she did say she bit her tongue, and she didn't.
I don't like it.
But
I still wouldn't even say that to a level one relationship.
I wouldn't either. But I don't know. Maybe I have no idea. That's why my mind keeps going back to this dude was like in his mind, he was saying something funny to hit on her. Like, he really thought he was doing something funny to start a conversation, like in hopes of saying, I hit on a pretty girl today.
But see, that's what I thought.
He had no idea how bad that backfired or how bad it actually sounded.
Well, she's a surgical rep, so she has surgical scrubs on. So the guy knows she works. So it's not like she's going back home to clean the house and cook dinner for her husband and her scrubs.
Maybe he thought she was one of those in-home nurses or something. Maybe that's the angle he was coming from. You should stay in the house too. I don't know. I'm not going to try to get in this guy's head. I just think he's just either socially awkward and really, like, you know, threw up in his mouth a little bit when he tried to talk, or I don't know. The dude screwed up. There's no kind of way of looking at it without saying the dude screwed up.
Well, I'm not usually the one to call out BS on a post, but I had to pull out one of my favorite gifts.
It might be that.
When I saw this post, I pulled out the old Bill Belichick throwing out the red flag.
Yeah.
So I said, look, all right, either you're embellishing this story or, and I go through the explanation that I just go through with you about this. And she said, I'm not embellishing, I promise. This really happened is what she sent me back. I said, well, all right, what's the rest of the story that you left out? Well, it turns out this guy figured out he's in his late 60s or early 70s. So medically, he's either crazy or losing his mind.
Well, see, he just didn't know what he was saying.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, he just didn't know what he was saying. I'm still not going to try to take up for him, but he didn't know what he was saying. Well, yeah, I did see that, and I thought, ooh, ew. I kind of cringed a little bit when I saw her put that on Facebook. But, you know, and you know her better than me, obviously. So he didn't know what he was saying. I think that's really the only way to leave that conversation. He just did not realize what he was saying.
My sister-in-law has been key in leaving out details before for a little bit of attention on social media.
Yeah, see, I can. There's no way I can comment on that.
See,
because
one,
because I know better, but two, because I don't know her. I don't know her as well as you do. God, man, it's just going to be one of those days where I run into her at lunch. Whatever, I'll run into her at lunch. When we get done recording, I'm driving another 30 minutes in her direction. I'm going to end up running into her today.
There's no way. You know, unless Roy makes a mistake of saying, text her and say, hey, Rocky, we've been talking about you on the podcast today.
Yeah, that's what's really going to happen.
She has the attention span of a flea. So, I mean, she wouldn't get through the rain part of it.
I'm going to have to mute myself. She's going to see, because I'm going to be over here laughing. I'm just making it worse. I'm digging myself a hole that I didn't even know I was standing in. Anyway.
Hey, so, you know, social media always gives us so much to talk about. There's always something developing post, or you take the duck guide about a month ago that went
crazy on the guys on the phone.
Oh my god!
And then,
yeah.
Did you see the post on Duck South last night? And did you read through the details of it?
I didn't last night. No. Now I saw some guys. No, I didn't. I did not go into it. No, I did not.
This guy has the nerve. I got to talk to these guys on the podcast. I've got to get the guy that made the Invisa chair. And we've got to get these guys that leased.
Yeah, anybody that has a connection to the fellow with that made his own Invisa chair, please get a hold of him and tell him to message one of us, please. in all seriousness, we're not going to get on here and, like, roast the guy. I want to really talk to the guy. I do. It's nothing. I mean, you know, we're not going to do anything to make somebody out as a fool. It's hilarious, and I want to talk to the guy. But anyway, what was the other one?
This is an outfitter up in Tennessee. And this guy, I want to talk to some of the people that have leased to him and figured out a scam in the past. This guy is leasing state-owned land.
Oh, my gosh. No, I missed this one. Ah, I don't have time today to go look at it. I'll dive into that one tonight because that sounds fun.
And it seems like this guy has scammed a lot of people. Tons of people. So I'll tell you how these other guys got caught or found out that they were leasing state-owned land. They were out there hanging no trespassing signs up.
Oh, they parked
their truck, and you can see the flooded field. They were hanging no trespassing signs, and the game warden pulled up. Hey, what y'all doing?
And they really, but that's the thing. Those poor dudes, because they're like, well, we didn't know. I mean, how do you not look like you're lying in that situation? How do you not, to a game warden, how do you not look like you're lying? Like, we really didn't know. We leased this ground. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. You leased it. You're funny. You know, how do you not? We need, oh, man. See, that makes me want to do what we've talked about doing for a long time and get some game wardens on here. You know, they don't have to tell what state they're from or what their name is, but just get some game wardens on here to tell some of their favorite stories, because there's probably a lot of them out there. But that would be one of them. I mean, could you imagine being that game warden and going back to the office and just walking in with a grin on your face, being like, guess what I saw today? Guys nailing up posted signs on the backside of a freaking WMA. I mean, what do you, like, how do you, you know, how do you top that for a Monday? I don't know.
I don't think you ever get a Fed on here. I don't think you get a Fed on here.
No, I don't think we'll ever talk a Fed to coming on here. But we can get some state guys on here. Under a different name, and they don't have to say what state they're from. But it's just the stories that crack me up. I mean, just
maybe one that's been retired 10 or 15 years. Now,
yeah, that'd be even better. They'd have a lifetime of stories.
I think that the likelihood of getting a recently retired state game warden would be pretty simple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to get one talk that's still on the job.
No. No, but you know, we're going to do that. We've got to push to make that happen at some point. We've talked about it for years, and we just hadn't done it. Or it just hadn't, you know, it hadn't worked out for one reason or another. But I mean, I think it'd be hilarious. I would love to know. I mean, I do know, you know, some things.
I would do anything. You know,
but it would be hilarious.
I would do anything.
Yeah, I know who's on here. I know.
That's
what I was going to say. I know who the both of us really want on here, but I don't, you know.
I mean, Pilgrim stories are legendary.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's why I don't think he would ever come on here, because he couldn't come on here and tell that story even under an alias.
Yeah,
but yes, we've got to do that. But I mean, back to this. So I got to know more about this. So these guys are out there. They're putting up posted signs. So they're trying to do their
their due diligence and make sure everything's cool, and they're going to take care of this property because they're leasing it. So they're putting up posted signs.
Yeah.
And game warden pulls up. I mean, what'd he say? I mean, really, like, what does this guy say?
Not much you can say to that.
No. See, this is the times when I kind of enjoy the fact that I didn't spend a whole night on the Duck South page, because I really don't know what's going on over there, and then I get to hear about it from people. So, oh, man.
But anyway, I think it'd be cool to get a couple of these guys on here that have because
that have been scammed.
Their stories are pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to hear a lot more about that. And, you know, and that's happened. I've seen it. I mean, I've seen guys, you know, lease ground to guys. And when, you know, when the people leasing it are not in town, you know, be outfitting hunts on it. I've seen that stuff happen. I've never heard of anybody leasing out state ground. I mean, that's pretty ballsy. But he'd been doing it for a while. I gotta look into this. I've really got to go look into this one. This is.
Well, I know that on his pits where he does like day hunts, unguided hunts. He's got a gas powered stove. I've never heard of a gas powered stove. Is that like gas power generated electric stove, or is that? You listen.
Look, Rocky, thing, I don't know what all this fella's got going on. I have no idea.
Red flag to me I saw on his website. But the second one, the guy has no punctuation skills and no spelling skills. He spelled it.
That was
he spelled decide, D-S-I-D-E, and he spelled decide like
decide.
He spelled the side like that, like in four different places.
You so have messed up, A.A. Ron. Oh, my God. Man, I've got to go look into this fella.
I'll tell you his name off the air.
A gas-powered stove.
I mean, yeah, you really got to.
He might. He might. I don't know what the heck he's got.
You really got to watch who you say anything about on, you know. We have so much power through these airwaves.
Yeah, he might be shooting a diesel-operated 12-gauge. I have no idea what the heck this fella's got.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
I got to look into this guy. Anyway, man.
So you must be into the monster drinks this morning. A.A. Ron and a diesel-powered 12-gauge.
I just left the Social Security office. So where I was in there having to be quiet, like I had to be in grade school again. So the nice people of the Social Security office in Corinth, Mississippi, took care of me quickly. So I applaud them. And I got, I walked in there with a Sitka hat on and ended up talking duck hunting with the guy that was in there. So I can't complain too much. But
do you have to change your Social Security number when you move back to Corinth?
No, I just. I needed a new Social Security card. I carried mine in my wallet for way too long, and it just torn up and everything else, so I just had to order a new one. That's all. I didn't want to spend my day doing that kind of stuff, my morning doing that kind of stuff, but I was really in there 10 minutes. I mean, you know, you called me, and I told you I was walking in the door, and then we were recording the podcast 10 minutes later, so I wasn't in there long, but I don't know. I don't know why why do things like that drive you crazy? Why does that drive people crazy? It drives me crazy, but I don't understand why. I don't know why. It just bugs me to have to go places like that. I don't know.
Hi, Joshua. I enjoyed it. Thank you for being here. I mean, you pulled them out, man. A.A. Ron and diesel powered 12-gauge.
Diesel operated.
Diesel operated. Sorry.
Diesel. That's D-S-E-A-L. Diesel operated.
Diesel operated. That's my favorite. Dude, that's my favorite skit. A.A. Ron.
All right. Look, I'm ready to hear the rest with Martin anyway. So.
All right, Josh. I think everybody's tired of hearing us ramble anyway.
All right, well, let's get to this interview with Martin now. Hey, guys, like I told you on the front end of the podcast, Martin is back with us, becoming Martin. Martin, I am going to say that I saw you on Instagram with a couple of crappie in your hand, or maybe one crappie.
Yeah, I finally, you know, I try not to sing the blues too loud because I do keep up with what's going on. And we got a lot of rain. We didn't get as much as folks up there in Tennessee. And, you know, I see all that floodwater's doing up there. And I just, you know, for the folks on here listening from Tennessee, look, our thoughts and prayers are with you. As a state that deals with flooding almost yearly, I know what you're going through. And, man, just always remember that material stuff, you can replace it as hard as it is. And as much as some of it, the meaning may have to it, you boys will come out on the other side of it shining like new money. We always do, and y'all will too. So I just wanted to say that. But yeah, man, we finally got a little break Sunday from the rain. It was perfect fishing conditions, you know, cold front, high pressure, very windy. It's the day you really dream about to go fishing. Said no one ever. But by God, the sun was shining, and I said, I'm going fishing. And we went, and we managed to catch three crappies. Now, they was all biggins. I mean, they was all, one was about a pound, 3/4. The other two, the one that I had a picture of was like a little over 2 pounds, right at 210. And then a guy I took with me caught his biggest one he's ever caught, and it was 233. So I knew we wasn't going to catch many, but we was just going for, you know, I go there every year to try to catch a 3-pounder. It's the only lake in the state that you have a legitimate chance at catching a 3-pounder. And so when I go over there, I ain't trying to just rip them. And I told him, I said, we're going for one bite. If we get that one bite that's 3-pounder, then this was mission accomplished. So, you know, don't go over there to eat them things or catch a big mess of them. But it was fun, man. Now,
hey, Kunasses have a different name for crappie or white perch. They
call
them
the old sockeye. Yeah, that means bag of milk in French. They say that's because of the real white meat of the fish. So I grew up calling them white perch. That's what my grandparents called them. But now, you know, traveling around the country, I just call them crappies because that's what everybody else around the world calls them. So, but they'll always be white perch in my book. That's just what I grew up doing. Yeah.
Where is that line for calling them a sockeye?
Oh, generally somewhere around I-10. You know, everything in Louisiana shifts around Interstate 10 down there. And boy, what you don't do is you don't call a Cajun a Creole or a Creole a Cajun. Don't ever make that mistake. But they'll all kind of generally respond to the name Kunas. So, you know, it's just it's a weird deal down there, and I love them. And everybody always talks about us like, y'all them Cajuns, like, no, Hammer, we rednecks. Once you get above Alexandria, that's all redneck country. There, you know, there's about three distinct populations in Louisiana. So. I think we're the only state in the union like that. And them boys down south don't even call us rednecks. They call us Yankees. So, you know, go figure.
I know this, though. There is a dedication to LSU football like in no other state. You know, and maybe it's because, but you take Arkansas, man, those people aren't as dedicated to Arkansas the way that the people of Louisiana are dedicated to LSU baseball.
Oh, amen. And basketball this year, look, we're pretty good this year in basketball. Golly, I'm not old enough to remember back when the days when LSU was good at basketball. So now, with that being said, having watched a few of the games, we ain't gonna make it very far in the tournament, but that'll be all right. We kind of like our football team. We like to play from behind and snatch it there at the end, you know. But they did. And, you know, that was an interesting game for me because I married a Tennessee volunteer. So it was a little touch and go, you know, of course, at the end of the game, whenever they called that foul, of course, she thought it wasn't a foul. And I was like, golly, they could have called three fouls. I mean, you know, now, granted, most time in basketball, the last 10 seconds, that whistle stays in their pocket. But, I mean, old boy got hit in the head twice, so I don't know how you just don't call it. They called it, made the free throws, won the game. Of course, they still almost let them freaking make a miracle shot there at the end. I mean, the guy was wide open, and he was just about 6 inches short on his shot. But, man, just go to show.
Let me ask you this. Have you heard what came out yesterday? The head referee of that game, he doubled the amount of calls against Tennessee that the other two refs called.
no, but I saw people posting a picture of him with some LSU stuff. And, you know, I looked at it, and I'm like, man, that was from 2013 or 14. I'm like, golly, guys. I mean, whew, you're digging deep here now. I mean, I get it. It was a great game, and somebody was going to have to lose it. But it don't make a hill of beans right now. The tournament's coming. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like losing in May during baseball season. Who cares? Like, I mean, you're in the tournament. That's all you need is the chance. So you've got your chance coming.
The point guard for LSU, man, he is unbelievable.
Unreal. Yeah, that boy's good, ain't he? Yeah, and then they got that – I can't remember. He's got a hyphenated last name, but I can't remember it. That kind of plays a forward and center that is just, man, sucker looks like he can jump through the gym, man. And it's just, there's some scary athletes playing these sports these days, man. Golly, you know. I mean,
but see, I remember the days of Chris Jackson and Shaquille.
Yeah, just throw it down low. See what happens.
man, but then you got the best three-point shooter in the NCAA playing guard for LSU.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was highly recruited by Kentucky and all them, but went to LSU, and good for him. I'm glad he did.
They couldn't get around Duke. If you remember, they met Duke a couple of times last year that Shaq was there, and Leitner and, gosh, man, what was the point guard back then? They had Grant Hill, Thomas Hill. What was the little point guard for – what was a little point guard for Duke? What was his name? Oh, man, that's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, I'd be lying if I said I could even really make a good guess. I can kind of give you the Hall of Fame Duke team, but that's about it. I just don't – with LSU never being, in my lifetime, very good at college basketball, it's just not something that we followed, you know. And none of our small teams ever made a Cinderella run, really. So, you know, just not something that I keep up with a whole lot. In fairness, but I'm glad they're doing good, and at least it's got me watching it, you know. And I fill out a bracket every year, like I'm sure everybody else in America does, but I don't think I've ever won a penny off of that just because I don't follow it. So, you know, I did. I tell you what was incredible.
Bobby Hurley.
I know we were kind of off on a tangent, but when that boy's shoe exploded the other night when I was sitting in Pennsylvania waiting for a sales meeting the next day, and in the Duke North Carolina game, that old boy's shoe just exploded. I felt for him and for Nike, because do you know how many pairs of shoes I've done that to? Being 6'4", 270 pounds, I walk out the side of them all the time. I kind of walk duck-footed, you know, with my weight on the outside of my feet. So I guess it's fitting. But, Mo, I've blown out a bunch of shoes just like he did. Of course, I wasn't making a cut in a basketball game.
I will say this, and this is my personal opinion, but, you know, in the past 5 to 10 years, these Nike shoes that are being made, and they're cheaply being made, put together.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can't.
That's my personal opinion.
Because I don't. Yeah, and I can't speak to it because I haven't worn any. We've been with Under Armour since they moved over into the hunting world. Of course, now we're not because they don't make waterfowl stuff anymore. But I've just been wearing the Under Armour shoes for the past 10 years. And, you know, they've done me what I do when I wear tennis shoes, which ain't very often. They've always treated me well, just during show season, really. But I think, you know, we say that with Nike tennis shoes. It goes for just about everything across the board being manufactured now. How cheap and how fast can we make it, you know? So, it's just the way of the world, unfortunately, you know.
All right, well, Martin, let's jump back into this. Last week we said we were going to get into it. Hey, by the way, how much snow was it in Pennsylvania while you were there, Pittsburgh?
enough. I don't know how much it was, but it was enough. We stepped off that plane, and I thought we were in a blizzard. Of course, the Uber driver, Lyft driver that picked us up said, oh, this ain't nothing. But I was like, God, I mean, I'm miserable. I'm scared to death riding in your car. And he's just driving like it ain't nothing. I'm like, oh, man, I couldn't do this. I could not do this.
All right. So last week we said we were going to jump into the Blame Duck Dynasty. Listen, I know you've gotten on here and said, you know, on to Duck South and stated your side of the case before. I want to talk a little bit about this. When this first started happening, what were you and Willie and Jay, Bill, Cy, what were y'all saying about this behind closed doors? Did it bother you? You know, did you feel the need to go correct it? What were you guys thinking?
No, I tell you, and when we first started seeing it and showing up, and we just would kind of laugh about it, like, you know, just we always called it. I got this term from a guy that did a football combine with us when I was growing up. Is he always said, and something I've held on to, is the national pastime is the transfer of blame. You know, and that, so when you see stuff like that and people start, you know, just pointing the finger, you kind of, for us, it's funny, because then what you do is you look and see where is the actual blame need to be assessed. And in cases like this, that there is no blame that needs to be assessed. What you had was a whole society of people that, for the most part, had forgotten about duck hunting. Or if they hadn't forgotten about it, they had never been exposed to it. So we were all like, man, great. People are going hunting. This is good. It's a shot in the arm for an industry that desperately needs it. You know, so we just would just kind of laugh it off. And then as the more that it kept showing up and the way that people would explain their interactions with the quote unquote Duck Dynasty hunter, that's when I started like, all right, somebody's got to say something here, because you don't have to be standoffish to these young guys that don't know what they're doing. Instead of, you know, blaming them and doing all this, why don't we help them? Like, why don't we show them what to do? Why don't we teach them the basic etiquette that was passed down to us, that thank God our grandparents and mentors and everything else taught us how to do this and how to do it the right way. When these kids were just like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go duck hunt. I'm going to go figure it out, you know? And that's when I really felt the need to start chiming in, is when people would put the blame, instead of looking at themselves and being introspective on it, that they would put the blame out towards us and just, oh, well, that's the reason. See ya. You know? And I'm like, no, you can't do that your whole life and just assess blame somewhere else without taking a look in the mirror and saying, what did I do? You know, how did I help or hurt, or what would I have done different, or anything like that? And I tell people all the time, the thing that's most upsetting to me about it is that us as a hunting community didn't keep the influx of people in the hunting world that was once there. That's the thing that personally I wish, had we had time and had we known it had actually grown that big ourselves, that we could have done better during the whole thing, was keeping these young people involved that got out there, splashed around in it, and now probably don't even think about duck hunting.
With just a couple of bad years or two or three bad years in a row, you start losing days from these people that join into the sport. And eventually, if you don't have one of those killer years, you lose them all together.
Yeah, and that's what we've, you know, and we'll really see the fallout of that after this year, I have a feeling. We'll see the people that can, you know, no longer afford to pay their boat notes, or, you know, they can't justify it because, you know, it's a bad deal for all of us. And for people listening to this, like, well, it don't affect me none, and I'm glad, because it'll be less crowded this trust me when I tell you, it affects you and your duck hunting and how much money gets put towards ducks and how much of a voice you have in management practices going forward. So, you know, you see it with everything that, you know, that old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If we don't have anybody out here squeaking the wheel, then we're going to get no grease as duck hunters. And that's, you know, that's an unfortunate thing. And hopefully something that now that we're back involved full bore with the, you know, the full blown hunting side of the thing where we're not distracted doing a whole bunch of other things, that we can help, you know, at least if nothing else, stabilize where we're at now and then figure out how to grow it and make it better and do some stuff for these young people, like do some clinics, do some whatever, do just, you know, figure out how we can make an impact with these younger people so that the etiquette is there, the respect is there, the, you know, just going down the line of things that are missing. And you know, it's the fault of society. It's the fault of us as hunters. It's the fault. It's just the fault of everything. It's not for, to put the blame in one single solitary place is just the most, what's the word? Probably the most idiotic thing you can do is to try to place blame in one place. So, cause that's not the case. It's not one thing.
I will say this though, Martin. I will say this, and I know at first this is going to sound bad when it first comes out, but I have a point. But I think that you guys did create a following that turned into license buyers. Because a lot of guys that came hunting with me as a guide, most of the guys you're hunting with are going to be young and inexperienced hunters, people, adults that are just getting into it. They don't know how to do it themselves at that point. But a lot of people during the popularity of Duck Dynasty, you know, they would come in with the beards. They would come in, you know, putting the face paint on. And as bad as that may sound, oh man, Rocky's in trouble with Martin saying all this. But let me just say this. I want to pose a question to the people listening to this. Is there anybody else out there that you would want these people looking up to than the guys at Duck Dynasty? Not from yourself, but looking around you at the guys in the same room with you. Don't you, you're like, man, yeah, these are the guys that I want people to look up to.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's what you, you know, that you dream for your kids and for when they find that person to look up to in their respective hobby or interest or whatever it may be, that they pick the good ones, the people who that aren't caught up in necessary greed and selfishness and the ways of the world, that'll take a stand for what they personally believe in, whether it be what you agree, but that they have a backbone enough to take a stand for something other than the dollar. And you know, I you look back, like, as you know, growing up, and you know, kind of a walk down memory lane, but I remember the people that I looked up to growing up being a young baseball player. I was a big Dale Murphy fan, who by all accounts, the older I got and the more I learned about him, was a really good man. You know, I didn't know that. He was who he was on the baseball field. You know, and then as I got older, it kind of morphed into, in my case, Chipper Jones, who little did I know in my life that I'd end up working for a company that at one time he was a co-owner for, and actually filmed him kill a couple of deer and got to know him aside from a baseball idol, you know, a baseball legend figurehead, as just a person. And, you know, and to be fair, as a flawed person that we all are, that you never saw on the baseball field because he was Silver Slugger winner and he was, you know, this, that, the other. He had every accolade you could ever want. But, you know, to get to know him on a personal level and still call him a friend to this day. And, you know, I see the people out there these days, and there's a few of them that come to mind, that are just really, really, really good dudes that hopefully, you know, kids and all are looking up to. And that's what we hoped we would be a positive influence. And it wouldn't necessarily to be a positive influence for hunting kids. It was just to be a positive influence, period, to, you know, just to make hopefully the world a little bit of a better place while we had the platform that we did. You know, and that, I think we accomplished that, and, you know, I'm glad and I appreciate all the kind words to that. And, but there's a lot of good people in the hunting world that don't have the platform that hopefully these kids, because of social media today, are finding, you know, the, just to name a few off the top of my head, the Michael Waddells, the David Blantons, the Jim Ronquist, the, even though probably one of the most hated men in waterfowl right now, Tony Vandermore is a great dude, who loves his family and loves duck hunting. So hopefully these kids can see through some of that. And even Spencer, great dude. So I'm trying to name, hopefully these, if there are some young people listening to this, that they can find these people to model their lives after. Another one, the Dr. Duck, Dennis and Billy of Dr. Duck and those guys, great guys that I didn't know before this year that I got to spend a lot of time around. And they're out there fighting that battle that we haven't been able to fight personally at Duck Commander, because they're at public boat launches every morning and they're inviting people to come hunt with them and they're trying to show these kids the way, you know, and, so there's all that kind of stuff going on, you know, that very rarely gets talked about, and hopefully it gets seen, and that we can all be a positive influence, not only in hunting, but when they get back home to their families. So,
there could be a lot worse influence, but besides a guy growing a beard and painting his face.
You know, wearing a little bit of face paint, what's the big deal? I don't think we sell face paint, so this is probably going to come off very, you know, I'd probably get scorned for this at some other point in my life. But when I wear face paint, there's a couple of reasons. A, I don't like to wear a mask. B, we're always filming, so we're going to be moving more than your average person duck hunt, because you have to have your face on camera. You got to turn, you know, just things that you don't necessarily think about. So you got to cut down on some of it. And the biggest beneficiary of it all to me is it keeps my face from getting dead gum wind burnt and chapped all winter long. Just like the same reason for the beard. Like, so anything I can do that, I'm in on. I mean, time has already not been kind to me. I mean, my hair is falling out faster than it's growing. Way faster than it's growing. It's all landing on my back and taking root. And so if I can keep my face from looking like boot leather, then I'm going to do everything I can to keep my face from looking like boot leather by the time I'm 40, you know? So there's just, you know, different strokes for different folks. And I get it. You can stand behind a tree all tucked up, quiet, not moving and everything, and you don't need face paint. But, you know, for us and what we do, it just makes sense. So, you know, but I don't care if you wear face paint, a face mask, or you don't wear nothing. You wear a white t-shirt out there for all I care. If you're standing behind a tree, you'll be fine. You know, if you're standing in the shadow or whatever, if we want to get down, why do any of us wear camouflage? You just get behind a tree in the shadow and don't move. It don't matter what you wear. But everybody out there wearing camouflage or something that's earth tone. So, you know, if you want to just start picking and poking and all that kind of stuff, then find a different soapbox to stand on, you know. I mean, go argue about something that matters, that can change this world for the better, not whether somebody's painting their face or wearing a face mask. Good grief, you know.
Hey, Martin, do you think that you guys got blame for getting people into duck hunting, not for actually getting people into duck hunting? It's because the people didn't possess the etiquette once they did get into duck hunting, and that's where the blame got laid? It's just Duck Dynasty crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I think no doubt that, you know, you had kids that figured out, and I'm calling all of them kids, but I'm, you know, I guess I'm to that age, I'm old enough I can call anybody 25 or younger a kid, that didn't know what they were doing, saw it, thought it would be really fun, which I don't really get how they got that from Duck Dynasty, because there was about 3 dead ducks seen out of 100 and something episodes on it, but... You know, it gave the appearance that we were duck hunting most of the time. And
wasn't a lot.
But, yeah, no, there wasn't many. But I think that's what they, I mean, I give them a lot of slack because they don't know. I mean, like, you know, it would be, I mean, what are you supposed to do if you don't know? Not go? Well, that, you know, you're not going to do that. You're going to get out there and figure it out. Unlike hitting a golf ball or doing, you know, trying to bake a pie that you do within the comfort of your own home, you can't figure out how to do that with hunting. You got to just go do it, trial by fire. And there was, and, but the, you know, I, what makes me so mad is when they try to hang the lack of respect on us, because that's not from us. That's from a society issue on a lack of respect.
Because
even if
you
don't know what, even if you don't know what you're doing, you can still say yes sir, no sir, shake hands, and move on. And that's just something that's completely lost. So, you know, that's just my two cents on that. If you want to hang it on them being new and not knowing what they're doing on us, go ahead. Fair enough. But if you want to blame their lack of respect and a poor attitude, then you better look at everybody around you, because society did that. We didn't do that. We operate as a company that still, you know, for the most part, I got two licensing agreements going on right now, making some fishing stuff that I ain't got a contract. Because you know what? We shook each other's hand and looked each other in the eye, and they're going to hold up on their end, and we're going to hold up on our end. So, because that's just what it is. Because you do what you say. You do what you say, and you say what you mean. So, you know, that's where we're at still as a company. And you know, if we would get back to a culture of that, and, you know, I've been seeing it all week on there about people getting ripped off by guide services and outfitters. That stuff used to never happen. I mean, it just didn't happen because you didn't have to worry about that. You paid your deposit. You went hunting. Whether you had, you killed them or not, that ain't the guide's fault. You went. You had a good time. And, you know, but you wouldn't poach it on somebody else's land and all this stuff that everybody's chasing the mighty dollar for now. So, you know, but that's been a shift that I've seen throughout my whole lifetime. Is that growing up playing sports, you had us kids that were pretty good, yes sir, no sir, were taught respect, and you had the ones that talked back to the coaches. You know, and generally, thank goodness, when I was still there, they ran that out of Jenny. But you can't do that today. You'll end up in a lawsuit because you worked your kid too hard, you know. So society has bred a bunch of, you know, people that just ain't tough like we were. And I'm not near as tough as a generation before me. And they're not as tough as a generation before them. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess, on that regard.
I agree with you. And it just keeps getting, as we go on and on, and maybe we're just getting to be our parents.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when and you bunch of disrespectful heathens, we didn't act like this when we were young.
Yeah, knowing full well they did to an extent, but, you know, it's like, you know, I always tell people, you know, when they say, well, I don't, you know, and whoopings and this, that, the other, I'm like, hey, look here, let me just be frank with you. I used to say back then, look, I got a whooping, I didn't do nothing wrong. I look back on it, I deserved every one I got and about 100 that I didn't get for being an idiot. You know, you knew what you was doing. But every time my grandma or my mom or my daddy whooped my butt, I deserved it, even though at the time I didn't think I did. And I'm thankful for every last one of them.
Nothing worse than the old switch. Picking your own switch.
Don't you get one that breaks.
That is the slowest walk to human beings, the walk to pick your own switch.
Oh, man.
My grandmother.
You got one that had a rotten spot in it. Oh, Lord. It better be green. It better wrap around that ankle, son.
Man, oh, I hated those old, dreadful words from my mama. Go give me a switch.
Them old young plum trees were the worst, and that's what mama had in her yard. Golly, them things. Oh, they would. They'd wrap around your leg three times when she'd hit you. You'd have a welt all the way around that sucker. But you know what? I know nobody ever cried abuse. You cried because you thought it'd make it end quicker, but it never did. But, you know.
You know that podcast we did last week, Martin? That thing jumped fast, quick, and held steady for downloads all week. That thing was unreal.
you know, Will They Know was the name of the podcast. If you hadn't heard it, go back and listen to it. Martin gets me on this tangent about thinking about being a kid and all the things that we both of us did growing up. You know what's so funny, Martin? I was telling my mom this weekend about you knowing about the wilted salad. And she, you know, she didn't know of anybody else that knew about the wilted salad. She can't even remember where she got her recipe from to do it.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I mean, that was just, you know, that was just something that, and you don't see it anywhere. Like, I mean, you see, what's funny is now, like, I watch a lot of Food Network because I'm weird. And I watch a lot of Chopped, and then people will make what they call like a hot vinaigrette. I'm like, Hammers, that's a wilted salad. So you see it coming back, just nobody calls it that, you know? I'm like, hey, us boys in the South have been doing that for years, and y'all eat it with a little hot bacon grease and vinegar. And say, boy, it's one of the best things I've ever ate. I'm like, well, boy, that's what the poor folks ate down there in Louisiana whenever you had to grow your own garden, and, you know, you're running short on money. You fried up your bacon in your little pieces, and I mean, you just ate what was there to get by, you know? I mean, crap. Like, and then they're all talking about it being high end stuff. I'm like, boy, if y'all only knew, y'all only.
You know, when she heard you say that, like, I let her listen to it talking about the wilted salad. She was like that old black lady that used to sit on the front row at the Showtime of the Apollo. You remember that? You used to come on at 10:30 on Saturday nights. Oh, man, she heard you talking about it, and she jumped up, slapped her, yeah, yeah! Anyway.
Oh, man, I hope that's the things that we can all continue to do for the rest of our life and then impart some of that into your life currently, you know it? I mean, that's just, history is the best teacher, that's for sure, so, you know.
Oh, Martin, well, look, next week, hey, we're going to jump into we're going to talk about the end of Duck Dynasty, talk about where you are today. I got a surprise question I'm going to throw at you next week.
All right.
I think you'll be able to talk about it about 5 or 10 minutes. So we'll jump into that next week. Martin, thank you again for being here. I want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line Podcast, Power. by DuckSouth.com.